It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and I really appreciate you tuning in to talk about the outdoors like we do right here on KETR every week. I want to remind everybody, you know, there's an hour-long outdoor show at catfishradio.com. You can go there, and you can also listen to even more outdoor talk. The Greenville Herald Banner is one of the newspapers. There's about 35 of them that I have an outdoor column in. I'd like you to check that out this week. I've got a bow hunting article there up on the Brazos River that I think you'd enjoy. You know, we do try to cover the gamut on outdoor topics here on our show, and we have not talked about a very important aspect of the outdoor life, and that's cooking outdoors. We've skirted around outdoor cooking for, it's probably been 6 months since we've had a show on cooking. Well, our guest today is somebody that knows a whole lot about cooking outdoors. It's Keith Weeks. Now, Keith is the originator, owner of KW's Barbecue Sauce. And I bet we all learned some ways to make fish and game and even domestic meats even tastier when Keith gets through schooling us today. Keith, thank you very much, buddy, for being with us.
Well, Luke, I sure appreciate you having me on your show today.
I tell you what, I'm anxious to learn more, learn some of the tips from you, Keith. I've been using KW's barbecue sauce, and I use it on all kind of game and domestic meats, too. But it was really interesting. This is America, and, you know, a person with a good idea and the drive to push that idea can get things done. And it impresses me that an old family recipe down in, I guess, South Georgia, early 60s, when your family was making this barbecue sauce, is where it got its roots. And now, you know, KW's barbecue sauce is here. You can get it at the stores. You can order it online. Tell us about how the roots, you know, the roots of the formative time on this KW's barbecue sauce down in Georgia.
Yes, sir. Like you said, you know, back in the early 60s, 61 or 62, my family started making this sauce. We had a small cast iron kettle that we poured all the ingredients in, and my sister and I, we sat there and we mixed and stirred and let it cook and cook till everything mixed and blend together. And then, boy, the sauce was ready. It took us about a half a day to get it there, but, you know, it was just old family sauce, and it sure is a wonderful sauce, and that's how we made it back in the early 60s.
Started off with it in a cast iron pot, and I guess there you probably learned well, if you made the sauce, you obviously came from a family of barbecuers, you know?
Yes, sir.
You know, we might touch on some tips in making. Of course, there's grilling, which, you know, you throw some coals down, a bed of charcoal or wood fire coals, and put your meat on it and grill. That's good, and it's good with barbecue sauce. But kind of go into, Keith, some tips on cooking. A lot of us that listen to the show each week, you know, we're outdoor people. And say, for instance, you have a venison ham. Now, you take a venison ham, even from a young doe, and put it on a grill directly over some coals, and you're going to have something that's less than desirable to eat. I mean, tell us how you tenderize dry meats and bigger cuts of meat.
Yes, sir. What I do is I get it, you know, usually season it up, and then I take it out to my smoker. I'll get that smoker going anywhere from about 200 to 225 degrees. I'll set that meat out there uncovered, and I'll let it smoke maybe for a good 2 hours so to get the smoke paste, you know, inside and everything. And then after that, I'll bring it back into the house, and I'll put sauce all over it. And, you know, some people like to inject sauce into the ham or into mm-hmm. their butts, things like that, and put that sauce on it, inject that sauce in it, and then take you some tinfoil, wrap it all up really, really, really good. And then you take it back out to your smoker and get that smoker maybe, I don't know, 190, maybe to 200, somewhere right in that area, and just let it, you know, slow smoke overnight. Another good 10, 12, 14 hours, depends on the size of that ham we're smoking. And then when you take it off, it should just fall apart and melt in your mouth.
You know, that's the way I cook, and I guess a lot of people do. Say, for instance, wild hog hams. This past week, I trapped about 130-pound sow and about a 40-pound pig. Well, I cooked one of the bigger hams that way. There was almost no fat on the hog, Keith. Almost like venison, really. That's one reason I like the wild pork so much, because it's little fat. But I put some KW's barbecue sauce on it after it smoked, just like you talked about. I didn't inject it, but I think I have injected meats. Say, for instance, if it were a venison ham, which that's even more lean than any pork, you know, then injecting would be a good idea, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir. I really think it would. It'd give it some moisture, you know, get all that moisture inside of there. It would be a lot easier for you to cook.
Yes, and you know, if you mentioned, you know, 12 or 14 hours, I'm with you on that. You cannot get meat, you know, a large cut of meat tender any quicker than that. It takes that length of time, and I use an electric smoker. Actually, it's called a Smoke-N-Tex electric smoker that a lot of times, you know, I'll do exactly what you said. Smoke the meat uncovered. I don't care if it's even a dry venison ham. I'll smoke it uncovered a couple of hours and get a heavy smoke ring on it. And then I'll either put it in an aluminum pan or two or three layers of heavy-duty aluminum foil and, you know, douse it good with the KW's barbecue sauce, really heavy. That gives it liquid, you know. But injecting, if it were venison, that would really... I've done it, but it's been a long time. But if you inject that sauce right up around the bone and all throughout the meat, that would take care of the moisture, I guess.
Yes, sir, it sure would. It'd give it enough moisture to make it tender, you know, and you slow cook it, and the moisture won't leave it. You know, that's another thing. If you get out there on a smoker and you get that thing up to 300, 350 degrees or so, you're still going to dry that meat out. So you need to have some moisture, and you need to have it wrapped up.
Have her wrapped, yeah. And if you, I've done that in years past, with especially with wood-fired smokers, Keith. I'd fired it up and got my fire. It's hard to regulate a wood-fired smoker. It really is. It always was for me. And then say you're going to cook, sometimes with the Smoke-N-Tex electric smoker, I'll cook meat. It really doesn't matter if it's cooked 13 hours or 16 hours, really, you know?
That's true.
You know, because I'll try to time it where the smoking process is done in the evening. It might be 6 or 7 o'clock when I put it on to smoke. But then by bedtime, I'll wrap it up and cut that thermostat down, you know, to about 190 or 200. And with it wrapped, it will not dry out and it will just slow cook. Something else, Keith, that I've done before, and I get your take on this. Before you wrap these bigger cuts of meat, once you have your barbecue sauce on there, I've been known to put actually bay leaves, a bunch of them. The barbecue sauce will adhere the bay leaves to the meat. They'll stay put, in other words. Yes. I put bay leaves. I grow rosemary in my garden. Depending on the flavors that you like. But you can put that in there, and that aromatic flavoring goes right through to the bone on that meat. Have you ever tried cooking with the different, you know, the different spices like that?
Yes, sir, I have a couple of times. I've done the same thing that you've done. I've taken some bay leaves and different stuff, some rosemary one time, and actually put on there. And you're right, it does permeate that meat, and it seems like it takes it about all the way to the bone. So you can have that flavor in there, and it makes it taste very, very good. And it's something different than just having the smoke flavor. You know, you have a smoke and like a bay leaf flavor.
Uh-huh, exactly.
It sounds wonderful, and it tastes great. That's all I can tell you. It tastes really good.
It does. Now we're getting into the fine points of cooking large pieces of meat right now. I mean, okay, now here's – you tell me if I'm doing it. I guess it's right. It works out okay. But
yes, sir.
I take – just say, for instance, I want some pulled pork, and it's a lean wild hog ham that I'm cooking. Well, now I will put I always use a throwaway aluminum pan in case that foil ever started leaking. Well, then you could have a problem; it would dry out during long, when I'm not even looking at the meat. So I put it in a heavy duty aluminum pan, is what it is, throwaway pan. And so I've got plenty of KWs on it. I've got your sauce is all over it and a little in the bottom too. It also steams it. Now, I want the finished product to be pulled pork. Well, the next morning when I open my smoking techs up and open the door up and let it cool a little bit for an hour or so, then I take a knife and chop it. But before I do, now that sauce is I drain all of that away. It seems to work fine for me, but I'll drain all the barbecue sauce and the fats that's cooked away from the ham, you know, drain that off, chop it really good, you know, with a meat chopper, and then put fresh KWs back on top of it, you know.
Yes, sir.
I guess I'm probably not the only one in the world that does it, because I found that liquid to be a little too thin. I don't really want that in the finished product, you know.
Yes, sir. I understand that a lot. You know, it does thin out, and then you get that fat and stuff in there in your aluminum pan. You're doing the right thing, Luke. Just take it and pour it out, and then take you some fresh sauce, just like you were saying. Pour it all over it, chop it all up, mix it up, and put it on a sandwich or something like that, and eat it up. It's good stuff.
And if you really want to make some people happy, your dining guest, if you really want to get their attention, take your buns and put a little butter in your skillet and toast those buns, and then put your pulled pork on there.
Yes, sir. Great sandwich. I'm getting hungry right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm probably gonna have to defrost that other ham that I've got in the freezer if I keep talking about this. But
right.
there's a lot of tips and things that ways that you can make game meat really, really tasty. I'll tell you one thing, my hat is off to you, Keith. This barbecue sauce, I won't be cooking without it. You might mention the website. I know that folks can go to KETR's website. This show will be archived like they all are for a long, long time. We'll have a link there to your sauce, but that's a good way to find out more about it.
Well, you can visit my website at kwsbbqsauce.com. When you get there, you can order online, or you can also see where I've got it in stores and stuff in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And also, at the very top of my website, there's a little word called blog. If you click on that blog, you can go to my blog, and there's cooking and recipes and tips and stuff right there.
See, that's what we're all about here at our outdoor show, is connecting people with information, and they can go right there to the blog and interact, learn what's going on, and pick up some tips, some little subtle things like we discussed today in today's show, right?
Yes, sir. And we try to update that blog at least once or twice a week. You know, so there's current recipes, and there'll be future recipes and tips.
Well, Keith, thank you very much for being with us, and I'll get you back on here down the road, and we'll, you know, be thinking of some more outdoor cooking tips, and we'll share them with all of our listeners.
That sounds great, Luke. I sure appreciate you having me on your show. You have a great day.
You bet. Folks, our guest today was Mr. Keith Weeks with KW's Barbecue Sauce. I appreciate all of you tuning in. I do want to remind you, catfishradio.com. You can go there and you can download the various segments. I have Bill Dance with me at the boat ramp with Bill Dance each week. And Larry Wysoon, Mr. Whitetail is a good buddy of mine. He's with us each week. I think you'll enjoy that, too. Folks, that wraps up our show today. I want you to know how much I appreciate you being with us each week. I want to remind you that today's show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website for the Dallas Safari Club is biggame.org. Also made possible by the American Hunting Lease Association. You can go online to ahuntinglease.org and learn all about the American Hunting Lease Association. These folks offer liability insurance for your hunting lease. Also made possible by Sniper Hog Lights. You can go online to sniperhawglights.com. Made possible by Texas Motor Cars in Addison, Texas, a new way to buy cars. You can go online to texasmotorcars.com. And also made possible by Hoffpire Polaris down in Goldwaith, Texas. The website down there is hpolaris, catfishradio.com. And remember, folks, you can always tune in to catfishradio.com, and there you can listen to the archive of the hour-long show that we do each week. This is with Larry Wysoon and Bill Dance. Tune in right here next week. We're going to have some more fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.